Each week, here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Mounts presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts.
Well, hello and a beautiful Sunday morning to you. Thank you for inviting me in your homes. Yes, whatever problem you have, God can take care of it because He loves you. And I love you and I appreciate you. And each Sunday morning we try to say there is something to believe in. And truly we believe that there is something to believe in. Aren't you glad you got something real in your life that you can believe in? That's very important. So we're glad that we're coming into your homes, your automobiles, convalescent places, wherever you are this morning, to tell you that God loves you and so do we. Well, let's get into our broadcast.
There's some people who claim this old time religion is real. I said, I'll go down, take a look at the crowd. It's just the weak-minded I feel. Well, I walked up the steps and I looked through the door. The devil said, don't you go in. I said, it won't hurt me, I'll just step inside. I'll sit as far back as I can. The preacher just then, his sermon began. He looked right straight down at me. He told everybody how mean I had been. Didn't talk like he thought much of me. Oh, but something got a hold of me. Yes, something got a hold of me. I went there to fight, but oh my, that night God certainly got a hold. Just about then someone started to shout. He said, and oh, I am saved. Well, all plainly could see with no reason nor doubt, salvation to him the Lord gave. Well, I said when I went, well, I can't stay here alone. I've got to be home by 9. But I fell to my knees and the fiery came down. Too late. Feeling too fine. Oh, but something got a hold of me. Yes, something got a hold of me. I went there to fight, but I tell you that night, God certainly got a hold of me.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that song. Something got a hold of me. That's an old, old song, but got a real good meaning. And something can get a hold of you, and that something is Jesus Christ. So we're glad that He's came into our life one day and made a new man out of us. He said, behold, all things become brand new, and we become a brand new child of God, being born again with the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can have that experience today if you want it. Well, let's go back now and let Martha do this song for us. And this one said, this is just what heaven means to me.
A country where no twilight shadows deepen, an ending day where night will never be. A city what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throne around the crystal sea? Of Jesus.
Just what heaven means to me. And we try to give you a little bit of heaven here on earth. I believe that you can feel good in your spirit, feel good in your soul, but you can't get taken up with the feelings. We got facts in our life. We got faith in our life. And heaven is real. And I sing about that. But right now we're going to do another song for you. And you got to go by Calvary to get to heaven. So let's go right now and sing this song for you. It said, "Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man that I used to be."
Today I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw some old friends that I used to know. Now when they ask me what has happened, I try to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I Calvary, things are different than before. And as the tears flows down my face, I try to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Back to the place where I used to live. My little boys ran to hide behind the door. I said, boys, you don't have to run and hide from your daddy now, because you see, you got a brand new daddy now. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And as a tear rose down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, are different.
Yes, sir, the Bible said in this life only we have hope. We are most men miserable. So we're going to be preaching here in just a moment on trouble. But we want to do one more song for you. And this one says, I'm flying higher than I've ever been.
I have heard once the bird has a broken wing. It will never fly higher anymore. Let me tell you what I know. That's not always so. For once I lay helpless and so I fell from above like a wounded dove, with no hope of ever climbing again. But with grace from above and God's marvelous love, I'm flying higher than I've ever been. I can see heaven's door. I'm flying higher than I've ever been. Well, I feel by the way, life's wounded prey, and oh Satan, like a vulture swept low. In my darkest hour, he came to devour what was left of my dying soul. As low as I could get, but God not finished yet. He's seen more good than I had ever saw in me. Now I live above the doubt, so high in the clouds that I can't see the top of. I can see heaven's door. I'm flying higher than I've ever been. There eagles can soar. I can see heaven.
Back in my early experience with God, when I was just a very young man, and we used to sing the song in the church that I attended there, and that song went something like this. Got any rivers that you think are uncrossable? You got any mountains that you can't tunnel through? Well, then God works on things that are thought to be impossible. And what he has done for others, He can do for you. Today, let's talk about the problems of our Christian walk. Yes, we do have problems. Just because we are a born-again child of God does not mean that we will not have problems. You see, the Bible was written for our example. It was written for our reproof and for our correction. And when we read the Bible and we see these problems and situations that face the Christian in that day, it ought to make us more aware of the pitfalls that we also may face. In James chapter 2, verse 15 and 17, I'll be relating to today if you'd like to follow with me there in your Bibles. Let's turn to verse 15 and begin to read the scripture. The Bible said, if a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food. Now, you've got to pull the word out of there, the destitute. He's talking about, is there anything lacking in their life? You remember the young man who came to Christ? We see the concern of the young man who came to Jesus. He was young, he was rich, and he was a ruler. And being in that form of life, he was struggling because he was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. And to overcome those obstacles, sometime it's going to take some bending and going to take some bowing. But he was lacking something in his life. Now, he told Jesus that he kept all the commandments. When the commandments begin to be quoted to him, I keep all of those. I've kept them all the way through life. But there was one thing that was lacking in his life. And Jesus laid these things out before him. And then the man turned to Jesus and made this statement. Then what is lacking, or what do I lack in my life? And you know, Christians have problems because there's things that are destitute. There are things that are lacking in their life. And when there's things that are lacking in our life, then we are not the Christian or having the problems that a Christian has due to the fact that there are things lacking in our life. You remember that Jesus talked with Peter about loving him? And Peter couldn't understand why did Jesus ask him three different times, Peter, do you love me? And Peter continued to say, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus asked him over again. Well, I would be very curious, just like Peter. I wouldn't be able to understand why that Jesus kept coming back and saying, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, sure, I love you. He comes right back again. Do you love me? Do you really love me, Peter? He said, Lord, you know that I love you. And why was Peter challenged with making this commitment to Christ? Because, you see, there's things that are lacking in our life. We may say we love God, but we may say we love God, but do we really love God? Do we truly love God? The Bible said, how can you say you love God when you have not love for the brethren? And, you know, if we can't love our brethren, if we can't get along with our brothers and sisters here in this life, how in the world are we going to get along in heaven? Well, I don't think there's going to be any problem there, because there will be no bickering or no difference and no denominations. We'll all just be Christians there. But lovest thou me more than these? Do we truly love God more than anything in the world? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all the other things will be added unto you. You see, it's not just how you and I live in the church, it's how we live in the world. Do you love the world? Do you love the foulest sinner up on the sidewalk? Do you love your neighbor as you love yourself? And when we don't love, then we have a problem in our life, because Jesus said, for by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you have love one for another. I told them at the church the other day, on our sign outside of our church, I said, this year I'd like you to put up this sign, the greatest gift of all, give love. And you know, that is the greatest gift of all. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And Christians do have problems in their life, and James faced that problem even in that day, and he said, if a brother or a sister be naked and destitute, or if there be things in your life that are lacking. Okay, let's go on down now to verse 16 and follow James and see what else he has to say to the Christian who is having problems. And one of you say unto them, depart in peace, Be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? You see, there's a lack of interest. There's a lack of falling away. The day in the last days, Paul said, would be perilous times. Men would be lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, blasphemers, unthankful, unholy. And true enough, we're living in that very day. I spoke on that last Sunday on the first day of Advent in my church. Well, we in America claim to love God, but how can we claim we love God when we're falling far away from God? Oh, I know our churches are flourishing, but our nation is trying everywhere in the world to expel God from the universe. It has even been stated that God is our biggest problem. When men are mindful to God, and men are trying to rule in a godly fashion, that really creates a havoc with the devil, because he would rather you take the Ten Commandments from the wall. Take "In God Do We Trust" from your money. And let's move God out of the picture. If we get God out of the picture, we don't have any problems. But I got news for you, my friend. If God was not in the picture, we'd have much more problems than we have today. And there is a great falling away. Men are falling away. Men are becoming lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, blasphemers. I touched upon this, unthankful and unholy. We need to get the word back out. And it's not a fearful word to be used among any denomination. You don't have to be a Pentecostal holiness to believe in holiness. All Christians should live the holiness life. The Bible said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. It even went as far as to say, be holy even as I am holy. And Paul went on to say that we could be perfect, perfect in love, perfect in understanding, perfect in our relationship, perfect in our fellowship, perfect in our love. Yes, we can be perfect in those fashions, but there is a problem of indifference on the part of many Christians. And many Christians are indifferent because you're not of my denomination, you're not of my color, you're not of my creed, you're a woman, you're a man. There is so many buts, but this, but that. We're more like goats than we are sheep. We're butting everything that gets in our way. If you'll pardon the expression, we need to put our butts up on the altar and leave them to God, because there is a great falling away in this day and time. And it's only fulfilling the Bible. The Bible said in the last days they would not heed, endure sound doctrine. And today people don't want to hear the gospel. They just want something that will tickle their ears and satisfy their conscience. In other words, go to church and the preacher gets up and he's no more than a volume in the pulpit. He just makes the people feel good.
Freedom,
sweet
John Saul, coming down from God out of heaven. The walls are of jasper, the gates are of pearl, the streets of pure gold. He tells of a pure river of life that flows from the throne. And when we have reached that beautiful place, we're known as we're known. Let's meet by the river, over that beautiful shore. Let's meet by the river where loved ones dwell who've gone on before. If you leave here first, just wait by the river. If I leave you here, that's where you'll find me. Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore. If you leave me standing here on this earth, just wait by the river. It's such a good place for us to meet over there. And after I find you, let's go see Jesus. Then let's go find our dad and mother. Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore. Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore. Let's meet by the river where loved ones dwell who've gone on before. If you leave here first, just wait by the river. If I leave you here, that's where you'll find me. Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore. Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore. Let's meet by the river where loved ones dwell who've gone on before. If you leave here first, just wait by the river. If I leave you here, that's where you'll find me. Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore.
All right, let's have prayer together. Yeah, I want you to pray for Martha and I, and we are praying for you. Father, as we bind our hearts together and we call upon the Heavenly Father this morning, we ask for your need to be met in our lives. We realize that there's sickness, there's afflictions. Always we don't do what you ask us to do. Sometimes we rebel against you, and we've all sinned and come short to the glory of God, and we're sorry if we've offended in any way. We pray for your blessings upon our unseen owners. Touch the sick. Bring deliverance to the captive. Set at liberty those that have been bruised and bound. We'll give you praise for it because we ask it in Christ's name. Well, neighbor, it has been good to be with you. I appreciate all of our supporters who are supporting our broadcast and standing with us. We are praying daily for you. We know that you're having problems, you're having sickness, you're having problems. So I pray today that God will attend to your very needs. So you pray for us, and we'll be praying for you. Well, goodbye, be good, and may God bless you and yours. That is truly my prayer.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at the same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Something to Believe In depends upon you for financial support. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering made payable to Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Your giving makes it possible for this ministry to continue on this station. Today's broadcast and or music tapes by Tommy and Martha are available by request. Simply include your request along with your offering when writing. That address again is Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. I will work.